Yes, it makes it easier. You guys hear me? Got me? Close? All right, we're going to be in Psalm 73 tonight. Going to be kind of opening that up. I seen George. Where's George at? You do me a favor, Georgie? Can you light this up for me? Will you come read Psalm 73 for me? I don't know if I got a chance to spend a lot of time serving with Giorgio, and one of the things I loved is I loved listening to him read because he's got like a passion in his voice. I don't know if that's the foreign or what, but it's yeah. There's a lot of stories there, so he's gonna open us up in Psalm 73, and then we'll break into it. So,
truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure at heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there is no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than the heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak softly.
Thank you, Georgie. Let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here tonight not because we have all the answers or that we have no problems or we don't understand or that we do understand everything that you do and you say. Lord, we came here because we want to draw close to you, Father. We want to enter like Asaph did, that sanctuary where we can see you, Father, and we can put our trust and our faith and our hope in you. And so I pray today as we come here, Father, that you would lighten our burdens, Father, that you would help us to be able to put the trust that should be in you. I pray that you would just help us put it there. So I just lift this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, starting in 73, says, truly, God is good to Israel, to such that is pure of heart. As he opens up this section, I don't know. I've heard a lot of guys speak about stuff that they don't understand. Hanging out with Jackie, he tries to explain things to me about the military. Well, I've never been in the military. So when he tells me that you have to wake up early, well, I've woke up early, but not like early military early. I don't quite grasp or kind of understand the things that he talks about sometimes. And And I want to just hone in on this statement. This statement isn't just thrown out there, truly God is good to Israel. It's not just a statement that's thrown out there that he doesn't understand. But this is a man who has wrestled with God. This is a man who has not understood why there's problems that keep persisting in his life. There's issues, and he still comes to the realization that God is good to him. And I don't know. I've spent a lot of time in my life as a Christian going, God, why are you doing it this way? This seems not very smart. Why are we doing it this way, God? Why does it continually have to be this way? And unfortunately, I find most of the time it's because, Jason, you're too stupid to do it any other way. He has a plan and a purpose to grow me. And he had a plan and a purpose to grow Asaph. And truly, we're going to see as this journey goes through, as he's plagued by some questions that he has for God, that he's truly going to really rely and trust that truly God is good to Israel. Are we sitting in here today because God is good to you? Yeah. How many of you God's been good to? Okay, your hand should be up. Where's your hand? Two hands. There you go. God's been good to us. God's been good to me. And we're going to check out that he has some problems. So the first issue that he has, it says, God is good, but here's the problem. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, and my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious and of the boastful. And when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So the first thing that Asaph seems to be doing wrong when he has a problem or a question or a concern about where life is going and how things are looking, the first thing he looks is he starts looking, instead of looking to God, because God's good, he starts looking around at everybody else. And starts trying to figure out God's purpose for his life based on looking at everybody else. George can read passionately. I envy that. I remember several times in studies with him where he would take a very small verse that I thought didn't say a whole lot, and he would describe it in this passionate way, and I'd be sitting on the edge of my chair going, and what happened next, George? You know, I was just excited about he brought the scripture alive. He said that, as for me, my feet almost slipped. What was he doing? He was looking at people, but even more than that, he was looking at people and he was desiring the things in their lives. He was desiring the things that they were accomplishing and the things that they were doing and the things that God had set up for them, and it wasn't for him. He said that he almost slipped. He became envious of the boastful. When he saw their prosperity, when he saw the things that they were achieving, the things that they were doing, the things that that were being accomplished through these other people. I don't know about you, but I have stood in those shoes. I've wondered, God, why do we have such a problem with church and different things? And then all of a sudden, ISIS is just blown up. And there's why do they prosper? Why do they have resources and funds? Why can't you just give a little smite action? Let's smite, done. You know, couldn't that be the way it is? God, why do you allow? This one has plagued me. You know, I've heard the Jehovah's Witnesses tell me that the Lord is blessing their church financially. I've heard the Mormons tell me the Lord is blessing their church financially. I've heard us say the Lord is blessing us financially, and the Buddhists and the Muslims. And is God blessing all of them? I don't think he is. I think we're mistaking the blessings that God has given versus the things that man can generate. I think he started looking at the prosperity. Asaph is a pretty simple guy. He essentially is appointed to be a worship leader in the temple before the Ark of the Covenant by David. There's not a lot of super big perks in that. You know, that's not a six-figure-a-year job. You know, what do you do? Well, I sing. Well, how much is that worth? Well, I get to eat meat when they sacrifice. Got a lot of meat. How about a house? Well, not as much as a house, but, you know, I could trade some meat. That's pretty much, that was all he had. Pretty simple guy. And he started looking at what these other guys were being able to generate. And it wasn't so much the things that they were able to generate, it was the way they went about it. It's funny, I worked as a plumber. I've done a lot of business before, and I hate to say that not every business deal I ever did was on the up and up. I remember working on people's houses and, you know, working and had something. We had agreed on a price as $100 to fix whatever, and it happened really quick. And I just was able to fix it really quick, and I walk out and I'm kind of bummed. I'm like, man, if I could have waited a couple more hours, I could have got $125 out of that. You know, I could have milked this for a little bit more money. Some of you guys are going, I've had him work on my house. Did you? What? Okay, let me go look at that bill, Jason. But he started looking at the people who were doing wrong and that they were prospering and started questioning, how can God be in this? How come God is letting this happen? And like I say, he was looking at other people, but he was also tempted by the things himself. I don't know, I had a deal on my taxes this year where I just needed, there was like $2,000 that if I didn't declare, I would have got about $3,000 back on my taxes. And I remember going to my wife and I was kind of telling her, I'm like, yeah, you know, that money was here was cash and we're the only ones who really know about it. What do you think? Should we just go ahead and do it or should we get the $3,000? She goes, well, you do what you think in your heart, you know, what God wants you to. And I was like, if you were with me, we could have both, you know, I could have shared the judgment with you. But for $2,000, I missed out on three. And I was kind of bummed. I was like, man. But my point is I was willing in my mind to go places that I had no place to be. A Christian has no place. When I see the success of people who achieve their success through lying and manipulation, I have no place to desire that success through lying and manipulation myself. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, I almost slipped. A lot of us like to look at this and say, well, he was frustrated with God's judgment. I think he had a crisis of the heart. I think he was sitting there looking at it and he was envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I looked and I saw how much they were making and I saw what they were doing and I saw how it was all coming together and I kind of wanted it. I didn't kind of want it. I really wanted it. I wanted it so much that I was maybe willing to give up the position that God had given me working in the temple. Maybe I'm ready to jump out and do some stuff that I could make some serious money with. I'd like to say those things never concern me, but I don't think it's good to lie from the pulpit. Sometimes I look and I go, man, that's easy money. It seems like a good thing I should have done that. This is what he's looking for in that. This is the security that he's trying to gain. And this is not bad. I want you to just keep that in mind. This part of his desire is not bad. For there are no pangs in their death. For their strength is firm and they are not troubled as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. It says, for there are no pangs in their death. There's two translations of that word pangs. It's there's no physical pain in their passing, or two, there's no fear. So they have no fear of death. They have no fear of these things because they have the finances and the things to do it. There's no, they're not troubled like other men are troubled. Their strength is firm. I don't think it's wrong to desire my strength to be firm. I want to be firm. I want to know my life has a purpose and a plan, and I got a destiny. I got something I'm working for. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that I'm supposed to be cowering, afraid of death. I don't think it's wrong to want to not be troubled like other men are troubled. But it's the way he's looking at it. It's the way he's perceiving how to accomplish those things. This is how they accomplish those things. Verse 6. It says, therefore, their pride serves as a necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, for they have more than their hearts could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression, and they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk through the earth. This is the, it's not wrong to want a security, to want a plan, to have, to expect and to desire God to deliver this plan to you, but you can't let your pride become the necklace that you're wearing around your neck. The word necklace is the same type of necklace that you would describe rank. So When Joseph was given a commission by Pharaoh, they put a necklace around him or a crown. It was a symbol of rank. Their pride was something that they could visibly see. And violence became their garment. These are the outside workings of how they accomplished success. These were men and women who were going out and I'm sure working hard and doing these things, but unfortunately, this guy is kind of in my way, so I'm going to step on him. It's kind of hard for somebody to step on me. I'm quite fat. So, you're old. It's okay, buddy. We're together. But violence was a part of their outward garments. It was you could tell they were in the room, and they used violence, and they used whatever means necessary to get the things they wanted. And this was tempting to Asaph. You know, how many times do you get passed over promotion, doing the right thing, when you start going, I'm tired of doing the right thing. I'm tired of getting passed over. I'm tired of this circumstance working out. God, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? Am I the only one who's prayed that prayer? God, where are you? Why aren't you moving? Why are you allowing these things? You know this guy's heart. Why are you letting these things happen? It says their eyes bulge with abundance. An exact literal translation would be their eyes are closed with fatness. Their eyes are closed. The abundance of all their blessings, they have. Their eyes are now closed to the things that God has desired for them. Their eyes are closed to the plan and the things that God has. Their eyes are so closed by all their material things and all the stuff that they have that all they see is their own glory, their own, what they want in their lives. And I don't know, if we're honest, when we see somebody that has all those things and they've achieved it by that, I like Asaph, are we not a little jealous? Like, man, I wish I could have made that call. Or man, I wish I could have had those resources. Maybe I'm the only one. It says they have more than their hearts could wish. There is nothing that their hearts have not been set on that they do not obtain by violence, by abuse, by pride. There's nothing they have. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, but their tongue walks through the earth. You have a mouth that says, I believe in all this stuff that God is about. I have a mouth that I profess God as Lord, but I don't, my tongue, when it walks on the earth, I do whatever I got to do to get by. I lived a life like this as a Christian, where church was about going to church on Sunday morning and fulfilling my mom's or my wife's obligations for me so I could live the rest of the week the way I wanted to. So I could do the things I wanted to, succeed the way I wanted to. He's saying their mouths proclaim that God, they know the truth. These are Israelites. These are other people he's seeing. But the way that they do business isn't that way. And Asaph, a man of God, is tempted by it. This man of God who has seen the Ark of the Covenant come in with David, he's seen amazing things that God has done in Israel's history. And I wonder, sometimes it made me wonder if Asaph is maybe even speaking about David as he's doing wicked things and prospering. I don't know when that time of Bathsheba and all that stuff came around, but I wonder if that played a mark on Asaph's life, if he was perhaps writing about that. I'm not sure. I didn't look into it enough, but here's the reality. Here's the problem and the concern with all the people. It says, for his people return here. It says, the nation of Israel is plagued with this concept. They've come to this place looking at the facts. These guys are doing whatever they want to do, but God seems to be blessing them. So is God okay with all the things that they're doing? Is God working on their behalf, so even though they're doing wrong and doing these things? Does God even care? Is God even here? And they start asking all these questions. For the people turn here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. He says that God has given all these blessings, and all of the blessings seem to be going to these guys who are corrupt. How is this working? How do I get on that money train? Why is God seeming to bless these guys? Why is this working out? And this is the things that they say. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are ungodly, who are always at ease, for they increase in riches. He's saying, these are the guys, that they don't even have a concept of who God is, because God must be okay with it because we're getting blessed. I have heard Jackie, I've said it many times myself, and I've sometimes even believed it a little bit. At circumstances or problems or things that have moved into my life that were painful. And I've said, God must hate me. I must have done something wrong. I've offended him in some way because I can't believe these circumstances are coming about. I think Danielle might have said that when she found out she was pregnant. I'm not sure. God hates me. Sorry, I love you. We're making it. It's going to be... But why is this happening? Why are these things coming about? And their concept, their ideas that God must not know, or is there any knowledge in the Most High? Is there any knowledge? It's funny. It says, behold, these are ungodly who are always at ease, for they increase in riches. It's not the increasing of their riches that's a problem. It's the standard at which they achieve them. Being blessed by God and having God bless the work of a man's hand is a blessing. Amen. And I've been a partaker of both the giving and the taking away. And I know for a fact that the Lord moves in those things. But he does not, don't be misled. If you go about it the wrong way, the Lord's not in it. If you're cheating people, the Lord's not in it. If you cheat on your taxes, the Lord's not there. He's not, God, good job. That government was taking me out of schools. That's, yeah, there's one laughter. Yes. The joke still lives. Okay. But, you know, he's not okay with those things. He says, follow the laws of the land. And I've argued, God, what these people are dumb. Why do you put these people in charge? And he doesn't give me an out clause that says, well, if they do dumb stuff, then you don't have to listen and you can cheat on your taxes, Jay. It's okay. But it's not the gain. It's the way that they gain it. It's not the gain. It's the style of life that leads to the gain. It's the dependence on self. It's the looking at and being willing to do anything for selfish gain, not the actual increase of the funds. Not the blessing, not the things that are come through. And unfortunately, we have a problem now. He's confused at what's going on. There's a problem with the concept, because all of Israel is beginning to adopt these principles. Hey, if you start worshiping these other gods, it's cool. You'll get more customers because you're politically correct. You know, hey, it's cool. We're down with Baal, you know. You just got a little shrine. Got Jesus with the... Or God, Jehovah with the big shrine, but... You know, a little Baal shrine. We're politically correct here. There's a conflict. This is a conflict. Verse 13. It says, surely I have cleansed my hands in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. For if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have... been untrue to the generations of your children when I taught how to understand this. It was too painful for me. He's saying, there's why do all the things that God is telling you to do? Why be honest? Why love your neighbor? Why purify myself in all these godly ways if the blessing of God is coming to those people who aren't doing that? If that's the concept, he says, there's no reason to continue with all the stuff that I'm doing. There's no benefit to all these things. And he says, if I had to speak about these things, I would have had to lie to your children because I don't know why. I got down to the end of it and it pained me. Why did it pain him? Because it comes down, when we start looking at people and we start looking at things and we take our eyes off God, it comes down to, I see all these blessings and God must not want to give them to me. God doesn't care. God's not even here. And we start, all of these ideas and concepts start coming into our mind. There must be no good reason. I've actually got a chance to speak to a few people who are atheists and people who don't have a relationship with God. I've actually heard them on debates and different things said, if the God of the Bible is real and he showed himself to me, I still wouldn't believe. Because, yeah, I know that'd be a dumb one. What? He said, I still wouldn't believe because I don't like the way he controls and manipulates. And it's all about worshiping. He's an egotistical maniac. And all of a sudden, you're like, how does that even work? I don't understand. He says, I started looking at all these things and all the addition didn't add up. It actually pained him. It took him to places that Scripture never led. It took him to places that he didn't want to go. It took him to places that he had to stand back and look, and through his man's reason had to say, God must not love me. God must not care. God, I mean, how many of us have stood on the precipice of our problems and said those things? I walked out of my house. We had lost our house. I walked out of my house and I had built it. I had worked for it. I had done all these things and I wept like a baby. And I said, why, God, would you do this? This is crazy, God. Why? I don't get it. I don't understand why these things happen. And it's funny, but part of that was a path that led me to being employed here. And I granted, you guys may think, man, we could hire any other pastor that would have been better. But I've certainly grown. I've certainly loved being here. I've certainly loved learning about God. And God has certainly opened my life up. He's done things in me that... when I start thinking about the things that I've lost, if you wanted to, I might help you stack wood around them to burn them now. I would prefer to have lose everything 10 times over and know God more intimately. And that's eventually where Asaph's going to get. But this is when it changed for him. This is when he stopped putting his eyes on the things he could see and started putting his heart and his trust back into God. When? It says, until I went into, these things troubled me, they pained me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. He took his eyes off of the instant gratification, the what's going to happen in 20 minutes. Boy, I wish I had that sweet boat. Man, that bow is awesome. Did you see the horns on that buck? I mean, he took his eyes off all the immediate gratifications, all the things that we spend our time with, all the things that we chase after, and he began to get an eternal perspective. I saw the reason behind all of this. One day I'm going to stand before God. One day this entire life that I lived is going to be but a blink in my eye in light of eternity. All of a sudden, how many of you guys, when you think back at a day in our life, any day, even the worst day, when we think of that in light of our whole lives, it's usually a very small problem, a very small issue. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to look back at the lives that we lived and the concerns that we had and the issues that we suffered. And we're going to look back and go, that was petty. Man, look how big God is. We didn't know. We didn't have that eternal perspective. We didn't keep our eyes focused on the God of the universe. I had my eyes on a little problem. I wanted to make a little more money. That's going to seem like a small problem. And even the big problems that we seem to suffer with, somebody's dying of cancer, or we have tremendous pains in this life. In light of this world, they seem terrible, and I cry when I think about Marianne. She's very weak. I don't think she's long for this world, but Marianne's existence in heaven, this will be nothing. All the pain that she feels right now, I'm sorry that she feels it. She's taking morphine and other drugs to ease the pain, and I look in her eyes, and I'm sad that she feels this pain. But when she sees her Savior forever, that's going to be junk. She would have walked through that pain a million times over when she sees God face to face. And this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like when we take our eyes off of the instant gratification and we put it into a God that saves. When we understand, he says, when I went into the sanctuary, I changed my perspective. I understood their end. They're not prospering. These guys aren't getting one over on God. They're not setting up for themselves treasures in heaven. They're going to end up destruction. This is going to be the consequences of their life. Verse 18. Surely you have set them in slippery places, and you cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation. In a moment they are utterly consumed with terror. As in a dream, when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. When you see these things going on and these people are prospering and they're doing it wickedly and God is there, I don't have any idea. I don't know why God's blessing them. I don't know why it's doing. When I think of their end, one day God's going to judge them and he's going to despise their image. I don't even know what to say with that. He's going to despise the way they look. I think the reason why is because in this life, the Holy Spirit is carving us every day, carving us into what? The image of His Son. Every single day as the Lord chastens me, Asaph said every morning he was chastened. Every morning there was tension and God was grinding on him and always whittling and molding his character and changing who he was. And then one day when he stands before God, he's going to bear the image of the Savior. He's going to bear the image of Jesus Christ. But these people who don't do that, when they stand before God, God's going to despise their image because when God looks at them, he's not going to see his Son. He's not going to see the goodness and grace and mercy that encompass Jesus' life in this person. He's going to see all of the bad things, all of the things that put his Son on the cross, all of the things that he poured his wrath out on Jesus Christ for. And he's going to take it and he's going to despise their image. This is what it looks like when a man changes his perspective. Thus my heart was grieved, for I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. For you hold me in your right, you hold me by my right hand, and you will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. God, I am stupid. I am ignorant for even thinking that all of these things were done in vain, that the goodness that I was using through the Bible to work my business and the things that you were working in my life, I was stupid to think those weren't good. You were guiding me the whole way. You are who you are today, most of you guys, not because of the successes you've had in your life, but because of your failures. Because of the crucibles you guys have bared. Your character is not shaped by the attaboys we got, but by the time you got knocked in the dirt and you got back up. For every 10 attaboys I get, when somebody's really honest with me and says, Jason, you're screwing up, you're having a problem, that's when I grow. And that's what happened to Asaph. He said, I don't even know what to say, God. In my mind, I was looking at all the wrong things. I was looking at I didn't see, I didn't know that you were the one holding my right hand the whole way and that you would guide me with your counsel. Your word was showing me what to do. I wasn't washing my hands in vain. I was washing my hands and I was doing the things. I was living my life the way you wanted me to because I have an eternity with you. This needs to be the heart of who we are. This needs to be the concept that we take home. It says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. What was the things that he desired? Look at verse 4 again, real quick. It says, for there is no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not troubled as other men, and they are not plagued like other men. This is how those things get accomplished. Outside of the physical things we obtain, it happens through a relationship with God. When God becomes the thing that I'm drawn to, the thing that I'm connected to, when he becomes him is the most valuable thing in my life, it says, the Lord God is the strength of my heart. He wanted strength. How did he get it? There's a way. I want it. I think it's good for us to have strength, but that strength needs to come from God. Not in the money I can make or the things I can do, or you will be very, very sad. At some point in all of our lives, we will lose the ability. I'm a pretty big guy. I've always liked being the tough guy. I always liked being stronger than most of the people that are around me, especially Rusty. I've always enjoyed that. I'm noticing now, I'm only 36, but I'm noticing there's bigger guys now. And even the smaller ones seem to be beating me. I don't know what the deal is, but all of the strength of my hand will fade. And if all of my self-worth is generated by what my hands can do, how disappointing am I going to be when I'm old? How disappointed am I going to be when the strength of my hands has failed me? Let me tell you, you'll never be disappointed when the strength of who you are, the strength of your heart comes from God. When the strength of what we do and the things that we say, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He's what makes me valuable. His presence in my life is what makes me have purpose. He's my portion. And the funny part is, no matter how old I get, that only makes God all the more glorious. When my strength fails, he says, something is perfected in my weakness. I got his strength is perfected in my weakness. Thanks, Georgie. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish, and you have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God, for I have put my strength. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. Are we tired of trying to do this in our own strength yet? I am. And I'm probably not half as smart as most of you guys. I'm tired and frustrated and disappointed. And I am utterly confused and baffled and just angry sometimes when I try to do things in my own hand. But why did we come here today? We came here today to draw near to the Lord. But it is good for me to draw near to God. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my portion comes from. I don't know where everybody's at today. I don't know what struggles you're struggling with or what problems are going on. Or I know we all have them. That I do. And I don't know the right word. I probably don't even know the right scripture to tell you where to look to solve some of those things. But I can give you this one blanket statement that God is the perfecter of all those things. If you have a trouble, you're in the right place. If you have a concern or an issue, if you're frustrated and you don't know why, I pray that you cry out to God, because he's going to give you the strength that you need. And at the end of the day, Asaph, this first statement, the first verse, culminates all of the heartache and all the pain and all the struggle that he had in his life. as he's going through the crucible of trying to figure these things out and not sure why and doesn't know what's going on, truly God is good to Israel, to such that are pure in heart. Truly God is good to you. Truly God has been good to me. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the goodness that you've shown me, Father. Goodness that I